Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And yes, I'm back live. I know the last couple of weeks we ran some reruns. We don't like doing that usually, but unfortunately I was not available for those two shows, and so that's what they did. However, for tonight's show, we're going to, I hope, complete the concept of secrets revealed about our universe that are metaphysical in nature, which is what this show is about, and spiritual, and that hopefully even have some practical side to them, although this is more in the far out there type of stuff, because after all, if it's a secret, usually it's also something that's like, wow, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm going to reveal some things that I don't think most people know. It's also going to deal with physics besides metaphysics. It's going to deal with some elements of science. And it may surprise some of you, and maybe not. And it's going to be a continuation of our show from 3 weeks ago, although I will reiterate a few things. Of course, after all this time, I don't expect everyone who is listening to remember, and those who weren't, of course, you would not possibly have known what I said. So this is an interesting opportunity, and you can join in if you would like. You can call in with questions, comments, or whatever. And if you're in the U.S., how about 877-876-5227? Those of you in Canada, 888-815-9756. Love to hear from you during the show if you'd like to call in. And also, if you'd like to email me when I'm off the air, thoughts@whylifeis.com. And I try to get to those as soon as I can. So if you have something you want to say, I'd love to hear about that too. Now, one of the things I've been busy with, just to mention this, is we have pretty much started a new company called Alternative Energy Approaches. And we're about to actually start going out and retrofitting people's homes to the tune. And this is, I know this is going to sound, some people are going to say, oh, this guy can't be for real. But we actually are saving about half of the energy that most people expend during their days using various parts of their house or apartment or office or whatever it might be. And it's on the big things. It's not just little stuff. It's things that even include refrigeration and heating and all of the like. And then besides that, many small things that when added together equals about half of the energy that is used. That also comes out to about half of the carbon footprint, some people might call it, or some other people might call it greenhouse gases, because they're not all exactly carbon. And what we're trying to do is really make a difference. The idea is to conserve first. Now, we also offer solar and other energy alternatives besides. The difference is that the solar at the present time sometimes might pay for itself and other times might not, depending upon a number of issues. Whereas with the conservation side, the great news about it is that you actually save money over the cost of doing it. So the net result is it's like someone sending you a gift every month in money, and you're sending back a gift to all of us in reducing our energy consumption and our, we'll say, greenhouse gas output while we all live better. And I mean that in every respect. There's no real level, in my opinion, now this is, of course, my opinion, of great sacrifice. Maybe a few small changes that some people might consider a sacrifice. But no, you know, it isn't anything like, oh, well, God, do I have to go out to the outhouse now or something like that? No. Do I have to live in the dark? No. Do I have to turn off the TV and not watch that and other things? No, you can do that too, although I don't think a lot of television, unless it's educational, is all that good for you, but that's another issue entirely. And if you are more interested in this, contact us. You can contact us at agelesswisdom.com, or we soon will have a website that deals with alternative energy approaches directly. That isn't exactly fully operational. That's one of the reasons we've been so busy. There's too many things to do and not enough people to be doing them. If you would like to help out, let us know. We would love to hear from you. You could call us at 800-777-7850 anytime, and we would love to talk with you if there's some interest you have in the stuff that we're doing. Okay. Now, that's sort of like a plug, I guess, but not really, because we're really doing this mostly in Arizona, which is where I'm talking to you from. There are some things that we are going to be offering that can be done any place in the world. So part of what we're doing could be done any place, and we're actually providing the necessary tools to do that, and materials. But in terms of the whole banana, that can only be done locally because we are using a licensed contractor and there's all kinds of laws you have to go through. And so you can't do that everywhere right at the beginning. So we're starting here in Arizona. All right. Now, let's talk about some secrets and let's talk about some ideas and thoughts. For some of you, if you're familiar with cosmology, that's like, where did everything come from and where is it all going to? And things about the big picture in our universe. One of the problems that has kind of come up in the last 10 years or so is that it appears there's something else out there in our universe that is causing it to do weird things. One of those things is to move or expand in a way that doesn't seem possible because the gravity of things should be making things kind of slow down and kind of move together. But rather, the universe is doing the reverse, is growing very quickly at an increasingly accelerated rate. And science likes to think in terms of energy. So they call the thing that is doing this dark energy. Problem is nobody's ever found any dark energy. There's no sign of it except the effect of this universe doing its thing this way. Now, I'm going to tell you it's like a secret. It isn't energy in this particular case that is causing this effect. It's the thought of beings that are sort of, we might almost call them parts of God, that control various dimensional issues in our universe. Now, our universe is thought of as one dimension, with some people thinking now there might be other parts that are other dimensions, but they can't define them and they don't know that they're really big enough for anybody to live in or do anything about. And in actuality, our universe is huge, way beyond its already hugeness that we can see, because we live in the basement. It's called the seventh plane. And it's a very, very small part of the whole universe, which has six larger planes or dimensions to it, with much greater dimensionality. Now, I had started to describe some of these dimensions in the last show, but to catch up with where I was in even describing it would spend the whole rest of this show, and I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to kind of, we'll say, use a little shorthand. And just explain it this way. The creator of our universe decided to create the universe through seven sounds. But the sounds are actually like very elaborate frequencies that describe itself. Each one of the seven sounds has a unique element to it, and all of them together are, if you wish, to put it on a human level, the name of this great being that created our universe. The first two sounds deal with the thought of this great being. And the last five sounds deal with the action or activity of this great being. And the thought of this great being is what we call spiritual thought, because it's in a direction that leads to the increase of what this being wants to increase in our universe, and that is life. You might say, well, why, if you're a great being, do you want to create life, and why is this so connected to the thought of itself? And the answer is the following. This being wanted to create more of what it was, but not be the direct creator, because then it would not have the joy and the tremendous bliss of experiencing the creation of something other than its own self. It was, you could say, maybe lonely by our standards, but of course that's a meaningless concept to something as great as the creator of an entire universe with seven dimensions to it. But the fascinating part about this is this, that it came up with an amazing solution that I find elegant and very, very pragmatic. It said that the first part of its thinking is that everything that it's going to create, which we call life, will be free to think for itself in some respect and free to become something more than itself in some respects. And that's the first thought it had. So the first thought is that its purpose is to create life that is free to choose and free to think and free to create how it's going to exist in some respects. Now, not in every respect, but some big ones, big enough ones so that depending upon the level of the life, its freedom gives it quite a bit of latitude to develop itself. The greater the consciousness, which is the second part of this great creator's thought, that the life possesses, the more freedom it possesses to develop and create it more of itself. So that's a very important point. The two balance each other out, and this consciousness part is really love. It has to do with the second part of the creator's thinking. Remember, there's two parts to its name, we'll say, and two parts to its thought. And the second part is that there's a big picture, and the big picture is to discover and understand its own creator by participating more and more in what the creator's plan is, which is to create more life that will do the same. So it's a, I hope I'm not confusing you with this, because this is a big, these are huge concepts. And they're hard to understand sometimes. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. And what I'm telling you is not as much a secret as some other things that I might say in today's show. But for a lot of people, it's a kind of like eye-opener of why things are the way they are. So spiritual thought, which is the thought of our creator, is thought that has these components to it, and it generally tries to create more freedom and more oneness and unity at the same time to life. And it allows life to give or love life itself, especially life that is similar to itself in the lower forms of life. And in the higher forms of life, starting with human beings, we have the capacity, as well as those beings beyond human, to love all kinds of life that are way different from us. Some of us don't do that yet, but we have the ultimate capacity because we have the correct number of sense senses, and we are more developed than life lower than us, even than primates, say. We are more developed than them. They can love life similar to themselves, but they find it very difficult to love life in general and to love their creator, therefore, because their creator is, its purpose is to create life. And they can't get that. But human beings and beyond can. It's a wonderful thing. And this puts us in a very unique position of self-realization and self-awareness. It gives us something that is missing from even the smartest orangutans and other types of relatively more advanced mammals. So when we look at the whole picture, we start to see that God, the creator, however you, or the higher power, however you want to describe it, is actually functioning in a way that it is, in most cases, attempting to help us to understand it and then to and or to co-participate with it in its own development, and eventually to become it, and even more than it is at the present time. We probably can never catch up with its full development, but we certainly can become what it was at some time. And that's the amazing thing. We have a great future, believe me, an amazing future. But some of us are not taking that course yet, and others of us may actually be obstructing it because we don't get it. We may be living more like some of the apes or less. And because of that, we don't yet operate in the correct fashion. Now, you notice that I had said that there was actually seven dimensions. The first two have to do with the thinking element, which is, it creates spirit. And this spirit eventually manifests itself with form in the third dimension. Because the first two dimensions, there's only the pure thought of the creator. Just a pure thought. But when we get to the third dimension, and the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and we are in the seventh, so the seventh is the basement, then life takes on something else. It not only has the thought of the creator that it deals with, or not, but it usually deals with the thought of the creator, but it also starts to take on something new that's added to our universe, and that is action or interaction between one part of form or energy that is connected in some way with spirit, and another part. So we have something new added into the mix, and this energy or form is important because it allows life to communicate and to exercise its freedom and its consciousness in unique ways and to diversify in unique ways. It allows life to use a new tool besides thought itself in creation. And this is given to us through the mind of this great creator, just decided, hey, you know what? I think in this universe I'm going to have a form in five out of the seven dimensions, and they have a different quality of sound and a different frequency, even though it's still part of the creator's name itself. And that part only resonates with and within something that has form itself. So in order to know our creator, we have to live through all seven of the dimensions of time and space. We can't just hang around the first two dimensions where the thought of the creator exists, because we will only know the first two sounds that make those two dimensions, and we will never know the rest. So a great being that exists as a part of us, it's beyond our own soul. Some people call it a monad, like it's a singular type of beingness that's connected to all other beings. So it's weird because it's singular in a sense, but it's also totally connected in thought with all of the beings. This being chooses to create life below itself in the lower levels where form is, to understand its creator and to co-create with its creator in various forms, including us, humans. But it also includes ants, and it includes mosquitoes, and although I don't like them very much, but it does include them. And it includes fish, and it includes protozoans, and little microscopic bacteria, and it includes everything. Because this is the amazing thing, this diversity that comes from interaction of form allows a great new part of God to develop. Diversity is one of the things that God likes because it makes life much more intricate and interesting. And it does so, again, through self-creation and not through God sort of saying, it'll be like this, it'll be like that. Because if everything is called by the shots of one being, that one being really can never grow from that. This other way, there's growth, and there's growth that's amazingly, we'll say, interesting and fascinating. There are literally billions of planets, and life exists in so many different forms on these planets. Not all of the life on the planets exists even in the seventh dimension, the etheric physical dimension that we live in. But there is life there nonetheless, and it's amazing that these planets exist this way for the very purpose of the diversity development, and that they can exist in different parts of dimensionality within our universe. Some of them we can't see at all, and others we can only see gaseous elements to them, but the life is not in physical forms that has anything to do with them, so we don't think there's any life there. But there is. It's just not the kind we are used to. It's very fascinating. Okay, let me tell you another secret. Another secret is that it's going to be probably, and this is a guess, about 10 to 20 years before physicists discover that energy is following thought greater than its own. And that is the cause of why galaxies seem to be doing weird things, and that their universe is expanding instead of contracting, or at least slowing down, and many other elements are taking place. This is a very important principle, because the form part needs the spiritual thought of the Creator in order to become life and to maintain itself. And therefore, it's very attracted to the spiritual part. And without there being the spiritual part, these funny movements of things would not be taking place. They will not find the quote-unquote dark energy per se that is causing the results that they're looking for. They will find a form of energy that is kind of a dark energy, but that dark energy will not be able to explain the anomalies in physics as we know them today. Only once spirit is accepted in science, it's going to take 10 or 20 years or so, that's my guess. About, if we're talking about a time zone, sometime after or around 2025. That's when I think we're going to hit the mark on time about this. But that's a guess now. It's not a definite. And what's going to happen is finally it's going to dawn on some physicists after many experiments that thought is actually behind what is taking place in our universe. It's the thought of a being so great, or beings so great, that they can actually change even large masses of energy, because it takes a lot of thought to change a large amount of energy, because a large amount of energy has the thought to just stick together. We call it gravity. To overcome gravity itself, it takes quite a great thinking being or series of beings to do this. Even all the human beings on our planet could only make a minor dent or effect on the energy that exists here. But if we all did think together, we could make a change, and someone someday will prove that. Now, I know transcendentalists and other people have been running around for years saying that they can do that, and believe it. And they're not incorrect. It's just that what they're incorrect is in the, we'll say, the size of change that they can make. That's the difference. They can't do some of the things they think they can do because it just takes too many people to do it at our levels of thought on an average. Okay, now let me tell you another secret that some people may not know about. And that is that every human being today is destined to become something greater than a human being. It may take a long time for a few of the turkeys of us. The really evil ones may spend millions of years getting there. But the rest of us will do it much, much sooner. And probably here on this planet, for some of us or many of us, a few of us will leave this world for either reasons of being too advanced or too far behind. But regardless, we are all destined to move ahead, to become something much greater than we have even any comprehension about in many circumstances. You might ask, what kind of greatness is that? Well, one of the things is that our ability to control form and control energy through our thought will vastly increase by hundreds, if not thousands, of times while we're still physically alive. Now, you can do some of this once you die from the physical world by just going to the next dimension of time and space, because energy becomes much more responsive to thought there. And so just by thinking about having a nice little house with a garden and maybe other things, pleasantries, you can create it out of your own thinking. And it's not just an imaginative thing, it's a real thing. The energy around you becomes what you imagine. But that is in this other dimension in time and space. Some people refer to it as the astral world, and there's actually seven different parts of that world. But the important thing to realize is that we will evolve to the point where we can do this anywhere, including the physical world. And we will also reach a point in our development and evolution. It's the evolutionary part is a change in our senses, but it's done through internal development and not done through some kind of external force. And we can reach a point where we will be able to do what many people consider to be like superpowers. Some people refer to it as the abilities of masters. Well, masters to me are those people who have mastered the ability to do this sort of thing in the three parts of time and space that humans have anything directly to do with, and that's the mental or fifth dimension of time and space, and then the astral, which is the sixth, and then the seventh being where we live right here. Our dimension is actually divided into two parts. One part is electromagnetic. It's like the television waves all around us, or radio waves, and all that other stuff. And then the rest of it is the physical stuff that we claim is the material world. The two are actually parts together of one dimension, but we don't recognize it most of the time that way. So that's something that's very interesting. We are all destined for that. Although some of us will get there earlier than others, the difference is how much do we consciously choose to co-create, first and to understand and then to co-create with our own creator while we are physically alive. That is the major difference between those that move ahead rapidly and those that do not. And that's the reason we, in the biggest way of explaining it, are here. We're here because as souls, we chose to diminish our soul senses and our ability to understand who we really are, to live in the lower dimensions, isolated from the higher dimension that our soul actually is more fully developed in, so that we can do something to create more of our Creator in these very lowest dimensions of time and space, and to make this a much better world to live in. And I want you to think about that, and while you do, we're going to go to a break, and I'm saying this very deliberately. We've got a new engineer who is learning the ropes. She is learning when I might break, etc., so I'm kind of giving her kind of a little forewarning. And we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes or so, and I will continue on with various secrets about how our universe works.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Or 480-966-3132. That's
We're back, and this is, again, Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. And I almost came back too late from the break. I didn't know, but we were coming back, and they and I weren't listening to each other for a minute there. But we are back. All right. So, let me tell you something else. Now, some of you that are more scientifically oriented have heard of a theory or a number of theories called string theory. And one of them is called M-string theory, which is it has to do with membranes that vibrate and create the universe, they think, now, from, believe it or not, vibration or sound. And now they're starting to think, well, they were thinking that there were 10 or 11 of dimensions. Now they're getting down to 7, which is where it's supposed to be. So a couple of these dimensions, 2 or 3 of them, confuse people because they look like there's more dimensionality to them than they actually have. One of them is the etheric physical, the one we're actually living in right now, and it looks like at least 2 dimensions to most people, and we call it 3 dimensions, of course. But it really is just one. It really is just one sound that creates it. And one, we'll call it vibrating frequency, which is part of the creator's name. But the amazing thing is that if you can kind of get around the nomenclature that's used and think in bigger terms and listen to the ideas I'm explaining it in, it starts to make almost as much sense from the side of just the pure science, that these dimensions are really just notes, like on a violin, and being played in a way that causes creation, amazingly. And there are actually, they being string theorists, are actually starting to talk about it in that way. Now, the thing that's wrong with string theory is that it still wants to stick more with the energy side of things. And even though they recognize that it's a frequency or vibration, and sometimes they even use the word sound-like, they don't see it as the connection to spirit or the thought of a being, and a very specific thought that has to do with creating more of life and the supporting of that creation of life. So this is very, very different in one respect, but in other ways, there's a lot of similarity. And some of you out there, I'm sure, have read books or watched maybe some science shows or other things that talk about this, and maybe now you could say, you know what, I remember that they were talking about that very thing. Well, we're getting closer partly because of that, to discovering the whole shebang, but it's going to take more than just a physical science approach. We've got to join with that the more metaphysical and spiritual issues, so we can open ourselves up to the idea that there is a being, and actually beings, that are behind creation. There's a single being that started it, and then there are great beings that aren't as great as that single being that are continuing involved in it. And the whole thing is just an amazing array of beauty and creation everywhere. Now, for some of you, one of the problems might be that Earth doesn't always look as beautiful or as great as what I'm making the universe sound like. And the reason for that is another one of the secrets. And that is that Earth itself is primitive. And it's deliberately primitive. It's not primitive by happen chance. The souls that are here because Earth is trying to challenge the creation principles to get beyond some of the problems that are going to take place in a future time. One of those problems is that there's a thing called evil. Now, what is evil? Is evil bad people who throw eggs at others or something? Well, no. Evil is the opposite of the principle of spirit, in a sense. It is the concept that instead of seeking to create life, evil seeks to destroy life. And in the process, this is very bizarre, it seeks to elevate its value and experience in its life at the cost of other life. If you really understand how the universe works, all life is interconnected, so any life that one destroys eventually, not maybe immediately, but eventually ends up destroying their own life. And evil has to learn this. And on our planet, we're going through an experiment, an accelerated experiment, to see how fast evil can not only learn it, but change from that perspective to the perspective of living spiritually. And it's a struggle. It's a huge struggle. And it has to do with not so much as it is many other planets, based upon desires and feelings of wanting to be powerful and great. It starts there, even on Earth. But Earth is kind of unique. It's one of the rare planets where it also involves thinking. So in a weird way, the evil on Earth is kind of an advanced evil that not only desires to develop itself at the cost of other life and consuming that other life and first dominating and eventually destroying it, but it also is seeking to outthink the spirit that is in life itself and to elevate its thought beyond the thought of wanting to create new life. It wants to find a way to create life for itself only, or those that it allies itself with, through its own thinking. And this is an interesting, complicated problem, because God gave us and gives us the right to freely think, so it can't interfere directly with evil's thought, even though evil's thought is to find a way to destroy the thinking of wanting to be like God. And so this is a complicated issue that on Earth is being tested out and challenged. The idea is to eventually turn around this evil thinking the thinking that evil has, it is evil thinking, into becoming spiritual thinking. And to also at the same time control the lower levels of evil, which deals with desires in more of an emotional way of wanting to be destructive. So it's a problem that we being all of us, I assume, who are listening, and many others, who have chosen to seek to change. Because I'm assuming those listening are not evil, are spiritual, and are seeking to change what evil in this particular world is trying to advance in itself. Now, for the most of the universe, evil is not yet at this level. We are kind of like the advanced front in trying to deal with this so that 10,000 years, 100,000, maybe a million years from now in other places, we will have answers. We will have ways to change without force the thought of evil into more spiritual ways of thinking, and yet still give evil the freedom to choose to do that and not to be forced to do that. Because one of the tenets, and again, God's great wisdom, is that we have to be free to think for ourselves, and we cannot be forced to change even from a state of being evil. And so that's the uniqueness of Earth. We're here because this is one of the big bad places to be. I guess I don't have to really convince very many people of that. It's all you got to do is just look almost in any direction of life these days. And it seems relatively obvious. And if you look at our history, it's even more obvious. We have a scary histories of civilizations and the things that have happened and how evil has become dominant in so many different ways throughout history. This is not normal. Most planets do not have the level of evil or the kind of evil including things like, we'll call it the hostile propaganda methods, et cetera, that we employ in our world. This is not the norm. We are the fringe. And so we are trying to get around that fringe and become something much greater. But it takes the foot soldiers, us, in the lowest realms where evil has the most foothold, to fight against this and to deal with it in very, very complicated and difficult ways. And sometimes we err, and we ourselves try to fight evil by forcing others to think differently. And that doesn't work. It just isn't a solution. Some of you might say, well, it's not evil. All we have to do is just educate people. All we have to do is just bring them upright, sort of the social humanists approach. The problem with that is it's not true. Evil is a real tangible thing, and if we don't recognize it for what it really is, then it grows, and it becomes more powerful and capable of being destructive to life. We have to recognize there are people that, regardless of how well we might educate them, they seek for their own needs the destruction of life of others, and the need to control others' thinking and feelings and everything else. This is just an unfortunate circumstance. It isn't that it's huge, by the way. In our present society, most people are not evil. There were times in earlier times, even earlier recorded times, but especially some of the non-recorded prehistory times that people, some people believe in, others do not, but where evil was more rampant and definitely of a more gross and terrible nature than it is in the present day, and actually more people percentage-wise were affected by evil. So we as souls have come here to make this a better world, and the present time is particularly stressful, particularly forceful, because the result of combating evil is oftentimes great forces. And it's not because we're doing anything necessarily bad. It's just that we haven't done enough good to counter the bad that evil itself is doing. And so we are facing some very tough issues, very tough times. At the present time, there's a change in the way that our senses are developed. 4 out of 7 at a time are helped to develop through a thing called ray focus of energy. It's just like, sort of like giving us a leg up on some of our senses more than others. And one of the senses that has been given a leg up on for about 650 years has been the sense of how to develop civilization itself, which is the extension of our bodies and senses by using things outside of those bodies and senses. Everything from minerals to plants and animals, we've brought these into our own use, and that's what we call civilization. But it's different because what's happening is that this great energy that has helped us, and it helps our throat chakras in our bodies, to develop and improve our communication with others and our ability to interact together and to build together in big ways our societies. This energy is being withdrawn and replaced with a different energy that has been out of focus for hundreds of years. And as that takes place, we are in a battle that is greater than we have been for a long time. And it becomes much more difficult to overcome evil because those that have evil in them respond to the loss of the sense by using it more and more selfishly and in a darker and darker way because they want to keep the control that they have, if not at least even expanded. And so they'll do more and more hostile things to achieve this result. And that's what we're facing. It's going on right now. It's going to peak and start hopefully to go the other way. After about the year 2012, and that's not because of the Mayan calendar or any of that stuff, it's just because my knowledge and what I understand, another we could call it a secret, I don't really think it's a big secret, this ray energy called third ray energy is changing and being replaced by more gentle, in some respects, fourth ray energy, which helps us to become more introspective and to seek beauty in place of material form, power, and control. So people are going to want to live in a more beautiful world rather than a more powerful world, and one in which they have less control over themselves and others necessarily, but a greater connection with and a greater appreciation for the spiritual side of things balanced to the material. And so this is what we're headed for, but it's like a 25-year process, and it started in the spring of around 2000. And so we got a ways to go through it. We're about a third of the way or so there, and we're having trouble already. It's going to become more difficult. Energy is part of the third ray issue, forms of energy. So consequently, energy is obviously a big issue right now. And many other kinds of things that we will consider normal parts of our civilization are becoming, we'll say, more difficult for us to be in control of and more difficult for us to cooperate and communicate together to solve. We've got to overcome that, of course, because otherwise our civilization may go bye-bye, as most of them have, by the way. The general rule of thumb has been that no matter how great the civilization has been, whether the third ray was in focus or otherwise, those civilizations eventually fall apart because they just haven't been built on enough spiritual thought. They haven't had enough of God's creative process within them. Well, I'd love to tell you a lot more, but I'm out of time, so I can only let you know that this Sunday, on June 8th, I will be speaking on 1170 AM out of the Boston area, but it's up and down the eastern coast of our country, and I'll be talking about preparing Earth to become more spiritual, things we can do to prepare our Earth to become more spiritual. And if you are anywhere in that area, you can just listen to me on your AM radio, 1170 AM. If you're not, you can just listen in the way you are right now. You just got to tune into WDISAM.com, and I'll be there between 1 and 2 p.m. if you are on the West Coast, or 4 to 5 p.m. if you're on East Coast, and you can figure out the difference between those two in either case. Also, I want to mention that on June 16th, Mimi's going to be talking over at Mesa Fiesta Borders from 7 to 8:15 p.m., and the topic is going to be on the lost civilization, lost knowledge of it, of Lemuria. So I would love for you to show up and listen to her talk about this. And there's no charge. You just come by and she'll be chatting with you about that. If you've read anything about this in some of the material that I've written, then that's great. You can ask questions or add information. Even if you know nothing about it, it's a great time to come in and find out something about a very old civilization from millions of years ago that was a different kind of human people that existed and populated the Earth that we don't know about for the most part. They have found the degenerated species from this group of people, but there's very little evidence of its existence because most of where it did exist is no longer above the sea level, and it's actually, much of it has subsided below the surface of the Earth into even down as down far as the mantle, so it's just gone, completely gone. And that's the nature of how our planet actually works. Parts pop up and other parts submerge, and it's going on all the time. Well, I'm out of time, so So until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. Thank you.